Well, in my constant effort to prove that partisan politics is fake, it is meant to divide us, I've invited a guest today who has broke her allegiance to President Trump because she is a free thinker. And she says that the media is only interested in her if they are left-leaning. Of course, the left-leaning media would say, oh, look, here's someone who broke with Trump. You know, she's finally thinking for herself. The right-leaning media would like to pretend she doesn't exist. She would like to tell her story to Redacted, and I really wanted to hear it because you may have seen Trisha Hope. She was she's a Republican delegate from Texas and a January 6th advocate, and she has been elevated to my X feed. Anyway, I think there's probably a reason for that, but I want to talk to a free thinker, someone who has a voice on X. So I'm so excited to meet Trisha Hope for the first time. Thank you so much for coming on Redacted.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Tell us your story a little bit and why you have decided to speak out about the Trump administration after years of supporting President Trump. And I want to preface this by saying we don't have Trump derangement syndrome. We're not driven by the same things that the media is driven by. That acronym really, initialism really, it really upsets me because I think that it's sort of meant to shut down legitimate conversation. So, you know, anyone who wants to come here and say that, just go away, leave. Let's have a real conversation. So I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, thank you. I started supporting Trump in 2016. I actually voted for Ben Carson in our primary. But after that, when Ben endorsed Trump, then I got more on board. I was appreciative of Trump being in the race, although I didn't really take him all that seriously in the beginning, but I appreciated what topics he brought to the forefront that no one else had. And I thought he served a really great purpose for that. But I didn't see him as a true candidate until after Carson endorsed him. And then I got on board and I fought for him. I in 2016, I tried to become a delegate at that point, a national delegate. I was a state delegate. And then I didn't make it to the national delegate. Then 2020 came and you know, what happened there, they didn't even have a convention. So it was, I didn't have that opportunity. But all along the way, I campaigned for him. I encouraged my family to vote for him, even though there were, you know, lots of conflicts by doing that and created some division in my own family by supporting President Trump. And so I put my heart, my soul, my money, my time into President Trump and fully. So it really became my life. And in fact, my husband and I sold everything, bought this RV, this motor home, and traveled the country going to Trump rallies. I attended 42 Trump rallies across the country.
Wow. So I don't want to bury the lead because I do want to talk about what it cost to support Trump in a minute. But what are the things that have pushed you to break your allegiance to President Trump?
July 8th, when he had his board meeting and he said, are we still talking about Epstein? It was as if a veil was lifted and a light turned on and I could not see him the same again. It was that quick. It was that quick. I was sitting in a parking lot waiting to attend a funeral when I saw it. And it hit me over the head. And that was the moment I started critically looking at Trump.
Yes.
And once that happened and I took the veil off, I saw him for, unfortunately, who he is, in my opinion.
What do you think that is? Because I don't know either. And I think it's important that we work it out together.
I think he's a fraud. I think he is a fraud. I think he is a liar. And I think he had motives to get to this point all along. And I hate that because I really hoped that he was sincere. And I made excuses for him along the way, you know, when he would say things, I would find a way to make it not so bad, you know, not and justify it. And I did that with my own family. I did it with my friends. And I really stood by him. And to learn that he was never, it was his intention was never to make America great again. It was to make him great again. That's how I see it.
Right. I mean, just last week, he was promoting Alan Dershowitz's book, who was Epstein's lawyer. That is a real, you know, sledgehammer between the legs.
It really is.
I don't
it
know
really is.
How to, yeah. Why don't you?
I mean, how does he even do that with a straight face? I mean, he's just looking, it's just like in your face, opposite of everything he promised us. And right. I don't understand people who can't see it at this point. I'm having a hard time with that.
Why do you think this bit? Is it because we have so many smoking guns from the Epstein class, so many people still holding power who surrounded themselves with Epstein after he had been convicted?
Yes.
Alan Dershowitz, there is an email specifically by someone, a victim, who said that he would have conversations with Epstein while Epstein was getting oral sex from someone, and they had this is the bipartisan way of our leaders. How can we not all see it across party lines?
I don't know. I don't know if people don't want to admit they were wrong, because that's not an easy pill to swallow.
Sure.
That, you know, you were wrong about something. And then I also know that there are people who have benefited from it. They have a bit of stardom in their own world because of their support for President Trump. And many of them don't want to give that up. I believe that is the case. And then I believe there are just some that truly are blind and can't see, you know, what is so obvious at this point. But it's sad. It's sad. And I think the number is growing that believe the way I do. And they may not be speaking out as loudly as I am, but I do feel it's important. I spoke loudly when I wanted Trump in office. I feel it a responsibility to speak equally as loud, believing what I believe now. I can't run away and say, you know, pretend I didn't support him. I need to stand up to my own actions and try to do better and try to help us move forward as a country.
Yes, but we have to forgive ourselves too. I was a strong supporter of Barack Obama, who's a murderer. And, yes, you know, I have to forgive myself for missing all the killings in the Middle East because he was cool and wore cool sneakers.
You know,
there's a lot of propaganda there. So, you know, all we can do is move forward and share our stories.
Right.
But you say that the liberal media is very interested in you now. I would suspect that they would like to tell this story of, like, you know, country bumpkin who all of a sudden sees the light, which is very condescending. Is that sort of how they're coming to you?
Well, you know, I've done media for a while now, and it's usually it has been mostly left-leaning, and they never tell the story the way I give it to them. So I just made a decision that I would not do that. And I, funny that I'm talking to you today, because you're one of the very few that I would sit down and speak with, because I know that you're an honest person, you know. So I've turned down Newsweek, I've turned down Washington Post, I've turned down lots of international media, all that sort of thing. But as far as conservative media, they have no interest. And that's why today it was so nice to hear from you, because you just want the truth. You just want to hear, you know, what people are really feeling. And that's nice.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. I've sort of come around to, you know, I was really upset that I supported Democrats and then I really wanted them to lose in 2024. It didn't come around all the way to full support of President Trump, but I was so happy to see Democrats lose. I did not see this full betrayal coming from the Trump administration. And so the way I feel about it now, because I was really upset at people who were supporting Kamala Harris, is I would like to see what we have in common more than just being upset with them for buying propaganda and, you know, really cause division too. I'm from California, so people don't want to hear that I didn't support Kamala Harris, you know, and
they're
like, oh, there she goes. So yeah, I don't really put a lot of stock in partisan politics anymore. And I do think that the Trump administration has broken my allegiance to that. And so talk about more how that unfolded for you, this Epstein comment and then all the way through to Charlie Kirk's assassination just 2 months later.
Right. Well, the first clue was the meeting where he said that. But then he kept talking and he kept just saying outlandish things that I would have probably found a way to excuse in the past, but I couldn't. And it just each day I saw something else, and it just grew and grew. And then I started being attacked by, you know, the people that used to support me. And they wanted to know what, you know, what was wrong with me? Why was I turning on Trump? And I didn't feel like I was turning on Trump. I felt like Trump turned on me, and I just finally saw it. You know, I started seeing what he was really doing. And There were a lot of people very upset with me, still are, but I believe I have to speak the truth just as I believe I was speaking the truth before. I believed in what I was doing, so I just decided that I can't sit back and be quiet. And then the Charlie Kirk thing, okay, that to me, that is a window of opportunity to get to the truth and on many things. Because I believe he was killed by not Tyler Robinson, and more of an organized fashion, whether it was Israel or our own government or a combination of all of that, I don't know. But something very bad happened, and it was done in such a blatant way for us to see, to fear, to cause pain, to the public. That wasn't an accident. And I think we have to get to the truth of that. And I don't understand people who don't want to ask questions. There are obvious questions we need to be asking, and anyone who fights that is questionable to me at this point.
What is the pushback from people who still want to support President Trump? And you're asking questions, and I never see you going at him personally for, I don't know, his hair, his language, things like that, things that the liberal media would go after, or, like it's very substantive. And so, what is the pushback from people who are still a stronghold supporting President Trump?
They think I'm not loyal. I've been told I'm not loyal. And I am loyal. I'm loyal to the principles that I held before, and I'm loyal to those same principles today. He is not. He is not. I have, and I explained this to some of my family members who did not like Trump, and we had a long conversation recently about that. And I wanted to make it clear that I haven't changed my moral compass. I still believe the things I have always believed. I just now know he doesn't, and that's the difference.
Right.
And so when I'm told I'm not being loyal by people that I actually care about, it hurts a bit because I am being loyal. I'm being loyal to the truth.
To your
And
principles.
yeah, and so that's kind of been a d disappointing thing to learn about some people. But I haven't changed. I haven't changed anything that I believe in. I still believe in conservative values. It's just that Trump isn't. We're going into trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. I think I read today that by the time he's done in 2028, he will have contributed over 40% of the debt. I mean, how is that conservative?
Right.
So we need to ask ourselves some real questions and be willing to listen to the answers.
But these platforms, these things that I thought represented Democrats, all of a sudden didn't when Democrats were in office. And then Republicans picked them up. And now they all of a sudden don't really, like you see
I know.
how it's a pool of what I would call, let's say, anti-war, free speech, small government, conservative spending.
Yes.
And taking care of the working class, I thought Democrats stood for those until Obama and Biden, and then they didn't. And
Right.
then, okay, I thought, so I followed, the Republicans into the 2024 election. Do you guys stand for it? You're saying so. Okay,
Right.
protecting children. And now they don't. So it's almost like we all stand for the same thing, and then whoever is in power pushes that away. And then
Right.
they tell us that it's our fault around the lines of partisan politics. And that's
Exactly.
infuriating. But there's blue MAGA who will not see it. And then there's full red MAGA who will not see it on the margins. And the rest of
Right.
us exist in the center. So, what I'd like to do without poking fun at those on the extremes is talk about what are you holding on to, guys? What's there that you're still
Yeah.
holding on to? And what do you think that is? Besides ego and inability to admit that maybe you were wrong.
Right. Honestly, I don't know because I can't see the policy or the actions that he's taken that any of us wanted, that any of us voted for. We didn't
Yeah.
want a war. We didn't want more debt. We didn't want more criminal politicians in office. We didn't, we wanted to drain the swamp. And it turns out we're not draining the swamp. We've added to the swamp. And I think people need to come together, forget the partisan politics. And I've reached out across the aisle because I think there are good people on both sides who want good things, and we have allowed them to divide us over silly things, really. And I would like to see us all come more together. We've got some common ground. Data centers, I think, is a big one, where people will stand up and fight back against that, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Most don't want that, even though it's being pushed down our throat.
Right.
So I think there's some room for us to come together, and I hope that that's what we all focus on because our country's in deep trouble.
Now, what do you think that Trump loyalists missed from the first Trump term? Because he did ramp up drone strikes in Somalia. He continued to fund Ukraine's genocide of the Donbas. And so, it was hard to watch him win knowing those things in 2024, even though I had great detest for Democrats. So, do you think that Trump loyalists sort of missed that the first time around, or did they have a reason to support it?
Well, I
An
missed it.
excuse? Okay.
I missed it. In complete honesty, I didn't even look at it, to be completely honest. I was looking at what he was doing for us, and it felt like somebody was finally doing something for Americans. And I believed that that's really what he wanted to do. His second term now, I know that that's not true, but that was my buy-in, as I felt like he was trying to help the working man, it seemed to me. And I did not look at the broader picture of, I looked at what I wanted to see,
Sure.
honestly, and I saw it.
Fair. Like I said, I missed Obama's wars in the Middle East and the great amount of suffering. And how much can we blame the media for that, though? Were you watching Fox News? Because they for sure would not have covered that. They're totally cool. Drone whoever you want abroad.
No, I was Fox News all day, every day.
Okay.
All day, every day. And I just immediately assumed any other news was not news, fake news, So
Yes.
I bought into all that.
Right. And what killed me so much, because my husband was an anchor on Fox at the time during the first Trump administration, was, the things that they went after Obama for, where he went to dinner, what Michelle Obama was wearing, that kind of stuff is so stupid when he's actually killing people abroad. And then when Trump comes in to sort of miss it, both sides of the media do not care about these
They
kind of
don't.
things.
They
And
don't.
it feels like a betrayal. But what do you make of the Fox News support of Trump now?
It is so weird because during the 2020 election, when I believe it was stolen, I still believe that it was stolen. I don't know exactly how they did it. I mean, I believe there was a lot with the electronic machines, but I think it was a multi effort, in a lot of ways. Fox stepped back from that, wouldn't touch it. And that was the eye-opening moment for me at that point with Fox, because they didn't step up to the plate. They would get rid of people who did,
Yes.
and want anybody who wanted to talk about it, they got rid of. So that was a since then, I haven't really watched Fox News. I've checked out of that, and I went more independent. And I've learned a lot by doing that, a whole lot.
And so, how many of the MAGA stronghold do you think are still strung along by Fox News? That's still part of it, do
I
you
think,
think?
sadly, it's my generation, the boomers. They believe. I talk to my friends every day, and they still tune in the morning. They still tune in the evening. And they believe. They fully believe whatever Fox News tells them is the truth. And I think that number is less, but I think there's still too many, for my generation. I wish we would step back a little bit and say, hey, maybe we could be wrong about something.
Yes. But I again want to offer you some kindness because the propaganda is strong there.
It is. It is. And we all can acknowledge that, but we all have to. I mean, I'm not saying that I was a complete idiot. I was provided information that I believed. I wish I had looked a little step back and asked a few more questions. But I do know that the propaganda was heavy. I understand that. But we all need to admit sometimes when we're wrong and try to do better. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
Sure. What do you think of President Trump's personality? That sort of liberals will say like he's distasteful. He says distasteful things. Some things are hateful. Some things, and Republicans, because I remember, you know, when his candidacy took off, that at Fox News, when Clayton was still there, they were very confused about what to do that with that, because they wanted to be a Christian conservative network. And then he would say things, you know, or do things, and his sex life and his marital history and things like that just didn't bother Republicans in a way that sort of perplexed everybody. And I guess it's less of an issue now as he gets older. He's a little bit less. But, you know, the sort of morality of it has always been something that I've been confused about. And now that he's protecting pedophiles, and we're not sure if he ever was one or not, because there are the evidence in the Epstein files are that there were accusers, but the government never followed up. Now, most of them were just like, oh, you know, here's a report. Someone says this. Trump was there. And the government seemed to say, that's nice, and then walked away. So what do you make of that?
You know, I made a lot of excuses for his behavior. And honestly, as a boomer, and his generation and men like him, I've known all my life, you know, very bombastic, very loud, and, you know, they say things. So it never really bothered me. I thought I understood it a little bit.
Yes, but I do want to say someone can be boisterous and maybe slightly obnoxious and not a rapist. So
yes, they can.
I don't think we should lump in sort of annoying men with whatever this is. Yeah.
And at the time, I did not believe he had any involvement in that. And I thought like the E. Jean Carroll thing was completely ridiculous. And so those things. But the Epstein files, that's the moment that I realized there was more to this, and he, whether it's him personally or his friends or something, he's hiding information for someone, whether it be himself or others, I don't know, but something's wrong here. And that is a line that I cannot cross at all.
Right, because we have to look at our children and say,
yes,
we did everything to make sure this wouldn't happen.
And yes. And I have grandchildren, and it just weighs on me heavily to know that I may have helped get us where we are today. And it's very, it bothers me. You know, I want to do right by them. I spent all my time fighting for what I believed was to put America first. And in reality, I didn't do that. You know, that's not what I accomplished. And it really bothers me.
Okay, but let's talk about your intention. I'm going to take a quick break because your intention matters, right? And so I think even Democrats that I absolutely cannot agree with, I think, have some kind of good intention at the root. So if you'll just let me take a quick break and we'll come back to that. Well, do you want to spend another summer sweating on your mattress, barely sleeping because you're hot at night? That's the worst. People blame summer heat for sleep, but it could really be your mattress contributing to this problem. If you already sleep hot, summer only makes it worse, and then become a middle-aged lady and see how that lands on you. That's super fun. Well, that's why we switched to Ghost Bed, because it helps you keep cool all night. No waking up sweating, tossing and turning, throwing off the covers at 2 a.m. Its cooling technology is built into every mattress. It's not some expensive upgrade that you have to pay for. Hot sleepers are some of Ghost Bed's happiest sleepers. Read the reviews for yourself. Now, Ghost Bed gives you 101 nights to try it at home so you can sleep on it for the rest of the summer and really feel the difference, because how many more summers are you going to sleep sweating yourself awake? Ghost Bed is offering our audience an extra 10% off with financing that comes to about $1 a day. So check it out for yourself. Go to ghostbed.com/redacted. Use the promo code redacted for your discount. Again, that's ghostbed.com/redacted. And the promo code is redacted. All right, we're talking to Tricia Hope. She says, you know, it really bothers her having supported President Trump because of where we've come now, because we now live in a government that obviously protects the Epstein class, a government that obviously wages war right before our very eyes, betrays the things that they got elected for. But, you know, I think that whether you wanted to support that paradigm and then voted for Joe Biden or Barack Obama or President Trump, the intention is the same. But unfortunately, it's cost us a lot. So I want to ask you, you know, what were your intentions in supporting President Trump that I think that most of us can agree with, that most of us can relate to, Democrat or Republican?
My intention was to put America first, to help him do that so that Americans could finally get the attention that we need and that our government would start working on our behalf instead of the behalf, you know, the benefit of others. That was my entire goal, was to be part of that so that my grandchildren could have an opportunity in this country. And it's, you know, that was the reason. That's why I walked the halls of Congress 3 times for him. That's why I went to 42 rallies. That's why I spoke at events for J6ers when I'm really not a public speaker, but nobody was speaking. You know, so I did things that I don't normally do because I really believed we needed to do it. And it's, I still believe we need to do that. I still believe we need to fight. I just don't know who the leadership is going to be yet, but we need real leaders and real leaders that care about this country. And are willing to put it first and take the heat from wherever that heat comes from, not to do that.
And so what did it cost you to do that? Can you maybe tell that story a bit more completely? Because I cut you off to ask you why you had stopped supporting President Trump. But I would like to hear it from the beginning, if you don't mind.
Yeah. It cost me a great deal. It cost me a lot of with my family, you know, as I know it has many people, there's conflicts in family over Trump. It certainly was that way in my own family. It has harmed me financially because I have poured all of my time into supporting President Trump and getting him elected in 2016 and then 2020 and then again in 2024. When I say my time, I mean that. It has been a full-time job without pay, you know, for all of this time. And so it's depleted me in more ways than one. But I think it's important to stay in the fight and try to find a better path, try to find a path to save this country, because we are in deep trouble. I keep saying that, but it's true. And I really hope that people understand that, you know, stop calling them Democrats or, you know, all these stupid names. And let's just start talking to each other, because I have found in doing that, I've got some things in common with people I thought I hated, you know, and that's important. That's really big, because we have been so divided so effectively that we forget that we have common ground. And, you know, if we could find it, I really think we could make a difference.
Right. And the liberal media will never elevate a free thinker who's broken with the Democrats. They will only elevate a free thinker who's broken with, so let's, you know, blame them a lot as well for how they, you know, portray Trump voters as someone who doesn't understand economics, votes against their better interest, is racist, you know, gendered, all of that. And that's infuriating. And that keeps us from speaking to liberals because of that as well. Would you like to say more about that?
Yeah, I had a conversation with my daughter a couple weeks ago. She's a liberal. And, you know, she knows that I haven't changed. But just the mere fact that Trump was removed from the equation, we started having real discussions about what she really believes. And we found big common ground. You know, she wants positive things in this country. She appreciates entrepreneurship. You know, I learned that she's not that different from me at all. Really, in this way. And it was a wonderful conversation, and we're building on that.
Right. And so what do you make of Republicans? Now we have a new divide. We see Democrats getting elected in their primaries who are willing to criticize Israel, and Republicans digging their heels in, saying, nope, this is our platform. We support Israel no matter what. Do you think they're playing just to evangelicals, or is it just they're willing to go down with the ship, or is it really just as simple as funding?
I don't know. I do know that more people, it's not just evangelicals, because people who are not evangelicals believe we should support Israel because they've been propagandized their entire lives and believe that this is the way. I was one of them. I didn't ever question anything about Israel, ever. Until, you know, the last 2 years, really.
What is that teaching? I'm curious because I wasn't raised a Christian Zionist. That was not in my peripheral vision at all.
I'm Catholic, and I was always raised that, you know, Israel, we're almost one. You know, that is the way I was taught. And so to question anything from Israel was like questioning the Bible, you know, mm-hmm. and God and everything related to it. And I started to look more into that as to why I was taught this. And turns out that that's not the reality. That's not the truth. You know, Israel is a nation that was created in 1948. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird. The things I just assumed were true aren't. And so that was my break and starting to look at the reality of the control that Israel has on our government through AIPAC. All you had to do is pull up AIPAC tracker and see who controls our government. They're all controlled. Yes. And that is both left and right. I mean, it's all right there. And that is a huge concern. And that opened my eyes a great deal. And so I started asking more questions. And then to see Trump put Israel, you know, here we're in a war for Israel. We don't need to be in this war. 100%. We have people dying. There's no and harming our economy in ways that we are yet to see. I mean, that what is coming is quite frightful. So I think we all need to wake up and come together as Americans and put our country first. Let's fix our problems. We've got so many. Let's fix some of them. Just yes. some of them.
And what is, if you could just summarize a little bit more, because I don't get a lot of mailers from Republicans and I, you know, I'm not in groups of mm-hmm. hardcore MAGA where I would see that they're saying, I mean, do they really believe in this sort of anti-Islam and anti-Semitism is the problem? Do they believe this?
Yes.
They do.
The people that I have spoken with, yes, they do. And I was surprised that people who I find very intelligent, you know, and have always had good conversations with, this is a wall that is up and they can't break from it. They can't see, you know, beyond it. And it's kind of shocking to me, the hold that Israel has on our people and our government.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
And so they are very concerned about Islamic intrusion into our society. Is that?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, they're concerned about Islamic intrusion. I'm concerned about Islamic intrusion as well as Israeli intrusion. Mm-hmm. You know, I want America first. We need to worry about America first. And we have people coming in this country who don't know who they are. We don't know what their intentions are, and they're not being removed at the rate that we were promised they would be removed. You know, there's a lot of bad things happening that we're just not dealing with. And I hear some of my friends, you know, just say, give it time, be patient. He's still got two more years. Be patient. Well, he's wasted 2 years. He's wasted 2 years, two of the most important years.
Yeah.
Because he had the House and the Senate. And, you know, that doesn't always go that way in the midterms. So he's wasted a lot of time and done the things that seems to have benefited him, Trump, but not the people.
Right. And it strikes me the people who will use these propagandic terms like, oh, well, you're just a panickin. Which I
yes.
think is especially dumb, or you have Trump derangement syndrome, but those are government propaganda tools
yes.
used to discourage conversation the same way conspiracy theorists is used, McCarthyism is used. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you be using these propagandic terms to not, you know, think granularly issue by issue, and yet it's used? And so can you tell me more about how it's used in these communities?
It's so funny to be told that I have TDS. I mean, it cracks me up. I slept on the ground overnight at rallies to be first in line to see Trump. Don't tell me I have TDS. What I have is, if I do, it's Trump disappointment syndrome, because I believed he was going to deliver the promises he made, and he hasn't. And I don't understand anyone who can't be pissed off about that. I mean, I really don't understand that. You were made promises. He's defied every promise with the exception of closing the border. But there's questions whether that, you know, whether that's actually accurate or not, I don't know, but I do know he's not deporting the people as he promised. So there's no promises kept, and yet we're supposed to keep cheerleading. I'm not his cheerleader. I've tried to tell people this. I'm not his cheerleader. He is an employee and he is failing. That is how I see it. That is how we all should see it. I mean, do the job.
I think that there's some sexism in saying TDS because you don't see it aimed at men. It's
Yeah,
usually
true.
like, oh, little girl, you just don't really understand it. You run along. That's how it lands on me. Nobody's accusing my husband of TDS, and he is absolutely furious about the war, about the Epstein class.
That's a good
Well,
point.
yeah, so maybe let's talk about how it's aimed at women in such a condescending way. You can see it, I feel it viscerally. Like, no, I will have a conversation with you on substance. This is not what, that's not what this is.
Yeah, I get the Panikins, I get the TDS, but I get a lot worse too. People who I thought, I respected have used such vile words against me simply because I disagree with them. And I have been attacked by liberals in the past, and now I'm being attacked by some Republicans. And let me tell you, they are far vile, more vile than the liberals that I was attacked by. Honestly, I'm shocked by it because I used to always say, no, we would never do that. We don't speak like that to people that we disagree with. But I have been called the most vile things you can think of. I have been threatened. I've had all kinds of crazy things happen to me, all because I say I want him to keep his promises. And I happen to know that the best way to make him do that is to push on him like nobody's business. He doesn't respond to praise. He just expects that. What he responds to is pressure. And people have don't understand that about him. He responds to pressure. If we would all stand up and fight him back, push him back on some of the things he's doing, he would have no choice but to take action. I've seen it with J6. Those pardons didn't happen the way everybody thinks. I was right there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because the algorithm lifts up sort of vile, to me anyway, people who are viral as liberals, wishing death on anyone who doesn't believe what they believe and the worst on, political dissidents. And you're saying it happens on both sides. And of course, that would be true, but we don't see it quite as much. And I wonder why that story's not told. And these are the extremists. We can't make excuses for them, but you probably can't have a productive conversation with them.
No, I've
But
had actually someone call my husband and say that he needed to get me in line.
no. Okay.
I mean, they searched him, found who he was, and called him and told him he needed to get me in line.
That
I mean,
happened to
these
Clayton too when he was at Fox
really?
News and
Wow.
people would see that his wife was a liberal. And he would get, get that woman of
Wow.
yours. Yes, that
I
did
was just
happen.
my husband, that was a fun conversation. He was ready to, go a distance. And I was like, no, let me handle this. Just let me handle this.
Or just don't. I don't know how
yeah.
you have
Yeah.
conversations in the extreme margins,
Right. You don't. You just shut it down. That's the best way. You don't speak to them. There's nothing you can say that's going to, revive their mental capacity.
Yes. So I want to take another quick break and then talk about how you feel about the rise of the Democratic Party, because I worry that we're in villain rotation now, and that's what's going to happen because of the failed promises of the Trump administration. So if we could just take a quick break. Well, I want to tell you about a therapy for those of us who wear reading glasses. Of course, I hate having to hunt for reading glasses, keeping them around the house. Well, I started to improve my sight using red light therapy. Now I wear them mostly just for the show or for doing computer work. I don't need them for my phone any longer. I don't need them to read a book outside because of this red light therapy. Now, recently we had Jonathan Otto on the show from Red Life. He was talking about the actual research behind red light therapy, and there is a lot for all kinds of things. We've used it in our house for scar treatment, acne treatment, and again for vision therapy. And recently I've been noticing, again, because I'm consistent with it, that I really don't need my reading glasses as often. So check it out for yourself. If you haven't already watched that interview, please do. And then check out the offerings. You can go to myredlight.com/redacted. If you use the code redacted25, you'll get 25% off a single device, or you can use the code redacted30 and get 30% off bundles. Now, this is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Again, go to myredlight.com/redacted, and the codes are redacted25 for 25% off or redacted30 for 30% off multiple items. Again, that's myredlight.com/redacted. We also want to share with you a way to assess your financial fitness. Of course, we're constantly talking about how the dollar is losing value. Our national debt is out of control. You can bet no one at Wall Street or in Washington really is worried about your finances or how you're going to retire. That's why only you can decide how to become financially independent and break free from the system. Now, if you're wondering how, there is a method that's been proven time and again. It's real estate. It's created millionaire after millionaire across history, and that's how Clayton and I were able to retire from working in the news as well, not because we're no longer dependent on a boss or the stock market or whatever Washington decides to do to pervert our finances, and you can do the same. We've built a 60-second quiz that shows you exactly where you stand as an investor and gives you simple, clear steps to move forward. So stop wishing you had a portfolio of performing assets. Take action and build one today. Figure out where you're starting from by going to redacted.inc/quiz. You can take it easily even while you finish listening to this show, and then it will help you figure out where to get started to build your wealth. One more time, that's redacted.inc/quiz, redacted.inc/quiz. Okay, before the break, we talked about the ways in which the Trump administration has failed the promises of its most loyal voters, like my guest today, Tricia Hope. But what happens now if we play this game of villain rotation? We could have, you know, a Gavin Newsom then who slips in because Republicans are failing their promises. And then, in my opinion, we're worse off yet again. So what do we do? How do you feel about this? Like, oh, no, do we have to support Democrats again?
I don't know what to do. I can't vote for Republicans. I can't, and I can't vote for Democrats. So my thought is, if there are independents, I will go that way. I will always vote. I will not ever stay home and not vote, even if it means I have to write someone in. I will always vote. But I agree with you. I am concerned that there could be a flipping just because we're so angry. And I don't know that that's good, but I also don't believe keeping the same people in office right now is a good thing. And I don't believe keeping Trump in office is a good thing. My feelings will not be hurt if he is impeached. They won't be hurt at all if he is impeached, because he has defied the law, you know, in this war. And that's just a fact. So I
killed 180 girls. Let's have some heads roll for that politically.
Yes. Yeah. That we cannot let that be okay. Right. We cannot let that be okay. So I don't see a positive light. I don't know which direction to go into, because I can't vote Republican, I can't vote Democrat. I will vote for independents and I will write in names, but I'm not going to support this broken system.
Yeah. I mean, we have choices, you know. Dennis Kucinich was on the ballot, and
yes,
you know, people don't see voices like that, unfortunately, because they're not elevated. Now, you say that. Well, I want to ask you. Let me first ask you about J.D. Vance. What do you think of him waiting in the wings? Is there any silver lining around him as a candidate, or same?
I don't
sentiments?
Know. I feel
I don't either. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel my gut tells me probably not. I'd like to hope that there is a glimmer there, that maybe we could mold him into what our country needs by pressure. But I don't know. When he was announced to be the VP candidate, I was I believe that happened right at the convention time, because I was on the floor when I heard about it, and I wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't happy about that choice. So I'm not happy. I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him. He didn't like Trump at one point. So for me, it was like, wait a minute, how do we cross that hurdle? Right now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a positive I need to look at. Maybe he saw something I didn't see, earlier. But I worry about his connections. I worry about Peter Thiel. I worry about a lot of things. So I don't know. I don't feel automatically good that, oh yes, JD will step up to the plate. I don't know.
Yeah. I was especially troubled by the week he was elected, goes on Fox, or was announced as the candidate, goes on Fox News and says, yeah, we'll bomb the hell out of Iran if we need to. And I was like, wait a minute, wait, what? That you've just become the candidate and this is something you're willing to say? And of course, Fox News is like, let's do that.
Absolutely.
Right. No critical thinking. So I want to ask you about these, liberals now who have reached out and said, good for you. You're thinking for yourself. Do you think those are false friends, or do you think that we can keep this bipartisan conversation with the majority of people?
Well, with regards to the media that has reached out, no, I don't believe that's authentic. I think it's just,
It's
their
not.
use. But yeah, but as far as individuals that I have spoken to, I have actually developed some friendships, that have come offline, into real world. So we don't agree on everything, but we agree on more than we thought we did. We disagree on sometimes on how to get there, it seems, but we have more in common than I imagined. And I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't try to see that before. And I did to them what is being done to me right now. I assumed their entire thought process, without really knowing. And I have developed friendships with Democrats that previously hated me. So I don't know how. I mean, I can, on my end, it's authentic, and I can agree with them on many things. And I feel that way in return for them, but I can't speak for them.
But I have to, I'm just sharing how I feel. I have to not get so mad this time around. Like, I would see Kamala Harris say things. I got really mad when she was asked, about the war in Ukraine. And she said, well, Trump would just give it up and we can't give it up. And I was like, who gave you Ukraine? You've dragged all of these men to their deaths. And then I was mad at all my liberal Californians who could not see that. And then I really felt like I don't like you anymore because you don't see what I see. And I have to figure out a way to not do that again. And I don't know how to do that yet, but we're going to come up on another election and I don't want to make enemies. And so, do you have any advice for me? You're not here to give me advice, but
I
take
don't
it.
know, but I understand what you mean, because I did the same thing, and I packaged people in my mind a certain way and really wouldn't let any other information come in. And I'm going to try to be much more mindful of that. It's hard because you have to try to get the truth from them through sound clips, that you get little pieces of. You don't get to have a conversation with these people, so it's hard. I'm going to have a hard time putting trust in any candidate, honestly. I'm going to have a really hard time. I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and it's going to be very difficult for me to put 100% support behind anyone, sadly.
Why do you think the algorithm has started to elevate your voice lately? I'm really curious about that. If it's because you're a true bipartisan independent thinker, and I'm like, huh, why is she getting that? That's great. What's behind that?
You know what? I wish I knew. I wish I knew, because I don't know. I mean, I'm saying what I believe, and I think, in my innocent mind, I think, oh, people agree. They agree. I'm not alone. People think the same way. But I don't know if it's a manipulation. I don't know. I'm thankful for it, because I think what I'm saying, a lot of people do believe and don't have the platform to say it, so I'm happy to do it. But I don't know how authentic it is, or how long it will last. I honestly don't know.
I did an interview last week with an AI expert, and he says, AI is very resistant to propaganda, and the technocrats really want to feed it a certain way of thinking, and it's constantly trying to break out of that. So it could be, legitimate processing of the algorithm, that it's just the algorithm sees that, independent thinkers are the ones to, I don't know this. I mean, that's,
it's I, all I know is I'm writing from my heart. I mean, I'm truly sharing what I've been through and what I feel. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten a response, and I don't know how long that'll last, but I have a lot to say in my thoughts, because I've put a lot into it, and I'm upset about it. I'm upset that I spent this much time, and I was wrong, and I caused harm along the way. And so it's important to me to just talk about it.
How do you calculate that you caused harm?
Well, within my, when I say that, I don't mean in a broad sense, like the country's on my shoulders. That's not what I mean. I mean, it, within my own circles, my own family, okay. You know, there was a lot of division, and I was the head of that spear.
I understand that. But I mean, it's a both sides kind of thing, you know? And so you mean just like alienating people who didn't.
Yeah. But I mean, I was guilty of, you know, I didn't use the word panicking because it wasn't around at the time, but I'm sure there were other Trumpisms that were used that I shared, you know, that I used against other people. You know, I know I participated in some of that, and I regret it. I regret that. And I regret, you know, not listening more. Listening more would have helped a whole lot. And I just assumed I had all the answers and knew all the right positions. And turns out I didn't know all the answers, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that we shouldn't be afraid to admit to, because it's really important.
Yes. But a lot like a religion, you know, politics will give you the answer to someone's refutation of what you have to say. So if you're saying right. The border is a problem, you can go to Fox News and get the talking points to say why it's not,
right.
You know? And so anyone who uses the media for their political arguments instead of original source material really is the problem, you know,
yeah.
And both sides do it to equal extent. And so, you know, maybe a branch could be, let's both, you know, sort of research this for ourselves and have a conversation. And it just
right.
Doesn't happen quite as often, but it does on X. You do see that.
I've had good conversations with people who supported Kamala and supported Joe Biden, and they have regrets, you know, and we have been able to meet in the middle and come to agreement that both of our choices were not great, you know, and maybe we could find some that are, or at least agree that, you know, we could work together a little bit. And I think that's important. I do. I think that there are some mending of the fences going on X that in my experience.
Yeah. What do you ever put any stock into, maybe there'll be a spiritual revolution or a revolution of the people? Because sometimes I use those as like a salve to my wounds, like maybe we'll all come together, but that then seems kind of folly. Or maybe there's a spiritual awakening that's going to save us. I don't know. You can tell that I'm still figuring it out. But what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know either. I do. I reflect on 9/11 and how we all came together after that. Mm-hmm. And now understanding more about that, it's kind of sad, because there was so much misinformation and lies surrounding that.
Yeah.
The people, if you just think about what the people did, the people came together. We supported each other. My sister was in D.C. She got a ride home from somebody she never knew. You know, I mean, people just stopped what they were doing and helped one another. I would love to see that again. I would hate to see a tragedy cause it, but we're kind of already living a tragedy. And I wish we would, I wish we can. And I hope that we do reach out to each other and say, hey, you know, I wasn't always right about this. You weren't either, but where can we come together and agree? Because there are places that we can do that, and we need to. We really do need to. And as far as spiritual, I don't know. I mean, God can't be happy. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I don't know what is to come.
How long do you think that Trump has been a pawn? Because you called him a pawn early in our discussion. And I've been trying to unwind this, too. We talked to David Icke not too long ago, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how, you know, Jared Kushner has always been in place for this. You know, like, did he really try and date Ivanka because of this idea that Trump would? It's inconceivable to figure out And do they have, you know, the globalists, the elitists, the cabalists, whoever they are, do they have a million Jared Kushners out there trying to wait in case their father-in-law, because, you know, like, what do you think? It's so hard to conceive of because you and I don't spend our time putting in place pieces like this. What would that be
right.
like?
Well, you sure opened the door, because that I don't know when it began. I have been trying to, in my own mind, figure that out. And I've thought about Jared Kushner. I've thought about, you know, way back, and how long has this been in the works? Because in my mind, 2016, I thought he was a decent person. I thought he was really trying to do the things he said he was going to try to do. And that's why I worked to get him elected in 2020 and 2024. But in reflection, I think this might have been the plan all along, and he's just a very patient man who worked the plan. I don't know, but it feels to me, based on everything we're seeing now, that there's a lot more to it than I ever knew.
Yeah, and how could they have ever chosen this guy? And so it makes me think that there's a bunch of others that, you know, yeah. It's just, who else? We could have landed George Clooney, right?
Right.
It could have been anybody.
Right.
And there's a million of them being groomed at any time who would benefit the elites. That's got to be the case. There's got to be others that are, you know, just that,
right.
that seed didn't grow, but they planted a bunch.
Yes. And that's what's so concerning about choosing the next seed and, you know, getting support behind someone else, because you don't know. That's what concerns me, is how do you know?
Right. And even liberals didn't know. They just disliked him because
his personality
be distasteful. Mm-hmm. Right. But none of them saw, like, hey, this guy. I mean, some of them have said, yeah, he's in the Epstein files, but that was when he was already in office. We didn't know
right.
that then. So none
of the
us
Epstein
really
files
saw.
Never was on my radar regarding Trump, you know, until he got in office this term. It really wasn't. I never assumed or thought that he was in any way in the files. I did not. I was that door is opened recently, and it's, you know, kind of a scary path.
Yeah, I want to see it. But again, everything that you see is complaints. We don't know how credible. And then, you know, the government's like, interesting.
What concerns me is their need to fight them coming out and continuing to fight the information. You don't do that if everything's okay. You don't do that. You don't
right.
fight to hide something that you're unafraid of.
Yeah.
So to me, that's telling. And it's, I just think there's more to this story than we know so far.
Right. So what are you going to do now that you're not going to go to Trump rallies? Is there?
I don't know. I've got a lot of free time.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You know, I've stepped back, and I'm spending more time with my family. I'm trying to repair those relationships, as I've mentioned, and I'm doing more things just with my husband, and he's real happy that I'm not as involved, you know, as I have been, because it literally took over our lives, and he, you know, that he had to be a big part of that. So he's happy to have me more focused on cooking and doing stuff like that.
A little bit so, more peaceful.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's funny because, like I said, my daughter, she told me she hasn't seen me feel this peaceful in years. And it's true. I have a calmness about me that I haven't had in a long time.
Right. I mean, a lot of it is you have to realize, and this is something I realize about myself, is artificial angst that I willingly ate. I took that bowl and I ate it myself, you know, out of superiority. And I have to own that. Right.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, then I know better than most people. And, you know, so then you have to chase that with a humble pie. At least
yeah,
in my,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like I'm at right now. And just trying to do things with a little more grace and a little more respect for others.
Yeah. And I think that as soon as you're emboldened by something to the tune of it makes you upset at other people, that's when I stop. I'm like, okay, what does that person think then about race, class, gender, war, free speech, all of that. And then, like, right. can I see where their intention is good? That's where I go. But what do you think?
That's probably a wise thing to do.
Yeah. In practice, right?
Yeah. I'm just going to go slower. I think for me, I'm just going to go slower and look broader and not. I tend to be optimistic and assume that they're thinking what I hope they're thinking instead of listening to what they're actually saying, because Trump did say some things that should have alerted me that didn't, you know, so it's not like there was nothing there. I chose not to see it. So I'm going to try not to do that, to just be, I don't want to pick a candidate and ride that horse no matter what. I want to listen to what they say and push them in the direction that after if they win, that they promised they would go.
Yeah, right. All right, well, follow Tricia Hope. She's at JustTheTweets17 and a voice that I really appreciate and enjoy. So thank you for offering to talk to me. It was really a pleasure to meet you. I hope we talk again.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.